Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Oasis, a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am.
How are you this week, sir?
Tired, mostly.
Been a long week. Yeah, well, it started out rough on my end. I had to get new glasses. They've fucked up the lenses the last time, and I had to go get another appointment. And then finally they figured out, oh, we just needed to tweak it, you know. So I had to go through all that shit. And then I got other news pertaining to something else that I want to get into. And that was, oh, Jesus. But, yeah, we're here. We're here to talk horror, and we're continuing on our Halloween grab bag marathon. We got a indie spotlight we'll be discussing. We'll be doing the indie spotlight first. First, we got some bad news. I don't know if you noticed, if you saw this, Ian. I know, you know, more about this person than you probably do. But indie filmmaker, he was a special effects artist. He did a lot of things. It's Canadian filmmaker Ryan Nicholson passed away at the age of 47 on the 8th of October to brain cancer. Now, again, he had a pretty decent line of films. He did like Gutterballs, Hanger, what was the other, Caller. He was working on Gutterballs 2, and there's like a bootleg cut out, but it wasn't an official like sequel. He was working on it still. Cause there's like a bunch of scenes and, again, a lot of other films like Bleeding Lady, which I believe was like a cannibal sort of movie. I haven't seen that one yet, but I know like that's one I've been trying to get around to watch. So it's worth it now to try to see some of the films that I have not got around to check out yet, because this is, you know, again, 47, brain cancer. Wasn't that the Wes Craven passed away from, brain cancer? And just to see it from a young guy such as Ryan Nicholson, I mean, it's awful, because, you know, in his films, they're something. I mean, they're pretty balls to the wall in a sense. I mean, they're, you know, pull no punches when it comes to films. When it comes to horror movies, it's like sort of like exploitation, gore, just a lot of visceral stuff, you know, like close up vaginal there's like a couple releases of like Gutterballs and Hanger, which actually shows penetration, like Triple X edition, which are pretty hard to find. But nonetheless, just the movies themselves, you know, I mean, they're you know, they made a name for themselves. You know, Gutterballs is pretty, you know, indie, sort of an indie darling in a sense. And then you got Hanger, which is fucking something. There's all kinds of shit in Hanger. It starts with a abortion. Well, it starts with a hanger, wire hanger abortion, but the baby doesn't die. And then there's like it goes into like this weird sort of revenge ploy, sort of, but then it's like street trash and mixed in with something. It's just all over the place. It's like exploitation, sort of grindhousey, with like gore and like vaginal shots, and there's like colostomy hole fucking, and there's all kinds of shit. There's like, there's one part, there's tampon blood, stirring it in as tea. It's just, it's all, it's fucking crazy, and it's just, it's a wild movie. If you haven't seen Hanger, wasn't the biggest fan of Caller, but I did like some of the, you know, it's a mean spirited movie. Caller is it? It still has some decent gore to it. Gutterballs is decent, but again, you kind of hate that because again, he, you know, as an indie guy, you know, trying to make a name for yourself, and he did that. You know, people were wanting Gutterballs too. And, I mean, if someone else picks up the reins and does it, you know, based off his script, if he even had a script, I know there's a lot of shit going on with him pertaining to, like, crowdfunding and Indiegogo stuff. And he kind of got a reputation towards Gutterballs 2 or his next project that he was doing. So there's, like, a lot of, you know, mixed opinions there towards the end. But still, you kind of hate to see someone with, you know, that type of vision and just his products in general, his film projects, just to see that go. I mean, and plus he did a lot of good makeup effects and gore effects, and he worked on a lot of Hollywood projects, makeup designs, creature works. So he did a lot of good stuff for the genre, and I hate to see him, you know, no matter what, you know, I mean, you hate to see someone gone with this contributed to the genre, and especially indie horror, because he's like kind of one of the big three or big four around the middle thousands, you know, around 2009 up to the tens, with like, you had like Fred Vogel doing like all the August Underground stuff, and then Richard Griffin, Dustin Wade Mills, you know, just like all those is like doing all the indie stuff, and people are like looking forward to like their next stuff. And he's, you know, he was one of them to, like, you know, like get indie, you know, a lot of indie stuff and people wanting their, you know, their next film. So, again, Ian, I don't know. Again, I doubt you've seen some of the films I mentioned. But it's probably something you're going to have to check out. You know, of course, based off what I said on a few of them. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Gutterballs is probably the more easy to get a hold of. I know Hanger and Caller can go for a little bit of money. You know, it's not too much. I mean, like $15 or so. But again, you can probably find them online. Not too bad. But Gutterballs is probably the more conventional, since it's a slasher movie with a killer with a bowling ball bag on his head as a mask, and he kills people with a bowling pin, the bowling ball polishers, all kinds of stuff, and it's really gory. And it's just, but anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, your thoughts on, you know, I know you don't really know him that well when it comes to movies and stuff, but it's still bad to, you know, it's horrible to see happen.
Yeah, it is. Seems like we're losing a lot of people to another year that a lot of people have died, and it's kind of sad. You know, my heart goes out to, you know, their friends and family, and I think it's, you know, I hope they, you know, find a cure for cancer soon, because it seems like that's becoming a real big problem, because it seems like a lot of people are getting that, you know, from Alex Trebek having pancreatic cancer to, everybody. It's sad. And, you know, I hope, you know, like I said, my heart goes out to, you know, all of his friends and family in this rough time. I know it's not easy to lose a person you're close to, and especially, you know, the horror community who grew up, you know, who have got a chance to get a hold of his movies that seem very colorful.
They're definitely an experience. I'll say that some of them are, especially Hangers.
Yeah.
Hangers something, man. You have to watch Hanger. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. At least he went for the gusto in his films. I mean, he wrote, direct, produced, did all kinds of stuff, and of course did some of the prosthetics and makeup, and you know, had a hand in everything. And he just, like, again, he had a vision. He put those visions to use, and he made some films. Again, like a handful, maybe like 10 or so. And then, of course, he has the ones that stood out. And there's something to check out. I mean, again, if you want to go indie, you know, want gore, you know, or just crazy, you know, off-the-wall stuff, I mean, he has a wide variety there of everything you'd want. You know, slasher with gutter balls, just mean-spirited gore with collar, and then, of course, Hanger. And then, again, I haven't seen Bleeding Lady yet, but there, you know, he has a lot of, you know, it's there if you want to see it, and it's worth checking out to get something a little different in your, you know, there's a budget to it. I mean, he creates an atmosphere, I'll say that much, with his films, and he does a pretty good job. But again, I hate to see it go. You know, I was kind of looking forward to his next stuff, and it's a loss to the genre, to indie horror in general. But you know, just a loss to see what's going on. Again, hate it. You know, like the guy or hate the guy, what he did in his final couple year, you know, his last year, whatever he's did with the Indiegogo stuff. I mean, you just gotta, like, things happen. I mean, that's kind of probably the reason why things didn't go the way it did, because he had to deal with, you know, brain cancer. And I don't even know if it was discovered or not. Again, I didn't really look too much into it. I just saw the passing and the reason why. But if it was an ongoing thing, and, you know, of course we don't know. We don't know his personal life. I mean, it's kind of, you know, you have to look at it like, okay, that makes sense of everything going down towards the end there with projects. But nonetheless, rest in peace, Ryan Nicholson. And go check out his movies if you haven't. But going on from that, talked a little long there. We got in our indie horror spotlight, and I'm going to put horror in quotations, just more or less an indie spotlight. There's some elements to it. We have a film called Violence Gives Him Hope, directed by Harry Cronlon from Skyburner Films. And this one's interesting. I say that a lot, but this one is actually truly interesting because this is a very ambitious indie project. And Violence Gives Him Hope it centers around Bone Man, honestly, but we're also introduced to Herman. And Herman is where we get, like, sort of the horror aspect to it, because he's a serial killer. And, well, before I get to that, it's a black and white film. And it's set up in, like, chapters. And, of course, you know, you have your chapter one tagline. And we're getting introduced to some of the characters. And as the film progresses, we get backstory through voiceovers. And there's a voiceover at the very beginning from this lady talking about, it's like, you know, sort of like, I wouldn't really say it's like a documentary voiceover, but it's sort of like that in a sense. Because she's, like, telling the story unfolding with Bone Man, with, like, Herman, and then we get another character introduced later on, Orville. And it's just talking, you know, as the film happens, like, every time there's a chapter. It's like a bedtime story, in a sense, just reading, you know, introducing these characters and learning about them and their backstory and various stories that they have to tell the, you know, like, it's actually, you know, sort of like they know it's a movie and you're watching it and they're telling you their story. So it's like one of those type of films. But yeah, it's no fourth wall breaking or anything like that. It's pretty even there. But we have our characters. We have Herman, who's a serial killer who thinks God wants, like, the stars are forming in the sky, and he thinks it's a sign from God to kill people. And then we have another person who thinks it's to save people. And then they have this battle at the beginning, and then we're introduced to Bone Man. And Bone Man is a late-night cable-accessed TV host who it's not going well, and he doesn't have a big audience, and, like, he's interviewing people, talking about taking pictures of chickens, and then we get introduced to this time-travel character. I forgot his name, but, like, time-traveling Tim or Terry or something like that, or Bill. I forgot. But he's a time traveler, and we get, like, his backstory and, like, what the whole reason that he's a time traveler. I love that aspect of it. But it's a very – it's not all over the place, but it's just, again, it's in chapters, and you have – it goes from one place to the next. So it's kind of sprawling in the world that it's creating in this story. And that's the one thing that I really kind of dug about it, is that, like, the story and the character building was phenomenal. The writing was good as well. I love the stories being told over the voiceovers from all the characters. You know, Bone Man with his dog, Orville with his father and his grandmother. That's later on in the movie, towards the finale of the film. And then we have, like, the time traveler and his story, and, like, how he died from suicide, and, like, it got him sent into the future, and he wakes up each day in a different year going backwards. And so he's been on the show numerous times already talking about it. And then we have, like, stories where Bone Man gets rid of the access show and decides to join the mafia, and, like, he's going through there to collect debts. And every time he goes there, he comes across a person that's already committed suicide. And then we get a little bit of, like, their backstory, well, mainly the first one. And so it's just – it's a big, you know – it's a lot to take in, honestly, with – you know, it's like – it's low budget, and – but they do a good job with everything. I mean, the story's pretty cohesive, and, like, everything is, like, honestly sort of perfect. But, again, it's not exactly – like I said, they have, like, a dark comedy thriller, and it is definitely a dark comedy. I do see that. And again, the horror aspect is very little, just towards the beginning. And then we have, like, again, Herman, who's a serial, you know, the whole serial killer aspect. And then he gets introduced to a Jehovah's Witness, and then the Jehovah's Witness converts him into a Jehovah's Witness. And then he just decides to kill anyway, and then we kind of just leave that aspect out of, you know, just like we had this whole story about Herman and everything, and then it just switches over to Bone Man after he joins the mafia, and that's the central story, is Bone Man and his mafia escapades. But it's a decent, you know, again, it's fine. I mean, it's a definitely something different. Again, horror, not so much. Again, but the stories are kind of horror specific, because we got Orville and what he does to his father and to his grandmother. I don't want to give that away. And of course, Bone Man and, like, the dog story and everything he does there and growing up. But it's very light on the horror aspect, but it's there in essence. And the, you know, just the whole overall, you know, again, and plus Orville, who, again, I don't want to give too much away with Orville. But I forgot to mention that Bone Man finds a dead body in his trunk, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And then that's how we get introduced to Orville and, like, his role in the movie and what the whole genesis of that plot point comes to, between Bone Man and Orville at the end of it. The ending kind of goes a little weird in a sense with the certain aspect. Not saying it's a bad idea, but just, like, you can just, you know, it is what it is. But again, I didn't mind it. It was fine. Again, it's more, you know, It has horror in heart, you know, in aspects of it, and in essence, as I said before. And it does a decent job with what it's trying to do in its general story. And I think he did, you know, Harry did a good job with, you know, again, I think he wrote it as well, I believe. So it's definitely and it's a very small, you know, again, small cast and crew, very few. Just, I think the dude that played Herman, he played Bone Man as well. So he, you know, a lot of double roles and stuff like that. So I think he did a pretty good job with that, the acting, the voiceovers. It was high quality for such a small budget. Ian, your thoughts?
It was okay. I like you said, I mean, I like the way the story was set up, you know, with the chapters. I thought some parts went on too long.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I started getting worried about the director because, like, three people committed suicide and they talked about it in, you know, kind of lengthy. And I was like, is this a cry for help? But, you know, I mean, I like when movies are in black and white because I just don't see that a whole lot. So I like when they do that, you know, and like you said, there was aspects of the movie I liked and I pretty much agree with you, like on everything you said. I just personally, I thought it was just kind of meh. Like I didn't hate it. I just not my type of movie, which is everybody likes different things. But, you know, I did like, you know, I did see that they put their heart and soul into it. And I did read on their, on the description on the YouTube page or whatever, that it took like 3.5 years to make. And they had a pretty decent, like a $2,000 budget. So I was like, huh, you know, keeping with the same story and, you know, shot over that for that long, I think they, you know, they did pretty good. Usually when movies that take a long time to make like that, there's usually like a lot of continuity errors. So
mm-hmm.
I think they did, you know, I think they, what they did, they pulled it off pretty well. And so I give props to that. I don't think I could keep a story straight for that long. So I like the masks. I'm kind of confused. Like, I remember, like, when they were walking through, I don't know if I missed something, but was that little girl wearing a mask? Like, his daughter? And was it a mask or was that just his face? I was not clear on that.
But, well, you mean the little kid?
The bone
with the baloney and the...
Yeah, the dog. The girl.
I think that
dog.
Was him. That was him.
Oh.
That was him, the whole story about the whole dog story. That's just him as a younger kid.
Yeah, it started messing up around that part on my my phone, started messing up around that. So I kept, like, skipping and pause, and I had to keep pausing it and restarting it. And so I think, like I said, I might have missed something around that part. But, yeah.
But yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's very ambitious, especially for an indie.
Oh, definitely.
You know, for what we usually get, it's pretty straightforward on the show. Well, you know, it's a slasher movie, it's a zombie movie, it's a cannibal movie. This one is very, you know, very different. And that's something you gotta, you know, I mean, I think, like you said, that span of time and no continuity errors, and it managed to, you know, work with what they had and the budget, and it made it look good. I mean, it looked good. The story was, like I said, cohesive. And it was just, again, it's a, you know, it's a very ambitious effort, and I got to give them props for that. I'm kind of interested to see what, if the, you know, if their next project, again, that probably be another 3 years, who knows, it might be shorter, But I'm interested to see where they go with that. But if anyone is interested, it is available on YouTube. So just type in the name, Violence Gives Him Hope, or you can buy it on their web. You know, they have it on their on the YouTube page, or you can type in Skyburner Films, and hopefully you can find it. Everything, the links are in the description, or you can go to our Facebook page. Links are in there. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to do it for Violence Gives Him Hope. Because we got to get through to our next film, and that's going to be giving us a lot to discuss, because it is our Halloween grab bag pick of the week, and this is the sequel to The Legend of Halloween Jack that came out last year, called The Curse of Halloween Jack. And oh my God, Ian, we thought my God. All right. So if you don't remember, the Legend of Halloween Jack was about Jack Kane, a serial killer that got off with murder, and the police or detective or sheriff in the, like the London, somewhere in London, Wales, Dunwich, I think, was the city. It was a Dark Knight of the Scarecrow ripoff, basically, the Legend of Halloween Jack, where the police took him out and killed him and buried him, and then he came back to life, started to get revenge on like their family after so long. Well, this one is like 2 years or a year later, a couple years later after everything
years.
That happened. What is it?
I said, yeah, it was 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years after the events of the first film, and the police, sheriff, and all them are now going after this cult called the Lords of Sound, and they do this seance to bring about, you know, something. This is summoning something. They're a cult. They want to resurrect shit. And so the police go there. They gun them down, and they think everything's fine. And then one of the police guys, who was a part of the sort of the cleanup crew in a sense, because he couldn't find the body of Jack Kane after the whole dance thing, the party that happened at the building where it blew up, because he went and buried it, and they did the sacrifice or resurrection, whatever they were going to do, over the body of Jack Kane, which is basically Halloween Jack, and resurrects him, and he goes on another murderous rampage. And this time we're introduced to Danielle, who is the sheriff, the mayor, is the mayor's daughter, and the band Halloween, anything Halloween, and they're going to go to Nancy's house and do this whole party. And, of course, we have Halloween Jack going around killing people, and it's, you know, Danielle, Nancy, I'm not exactly sure the two guys' names, but I know one was a gay, I don't mean that in a bad way, but he was a gay character, and the other one was sort of like this sexaholic in a sense, and he always wants to get laid, and then he didn't know he was gay, and so they have this banter and this whole plot point that kind of doesn't really go nowhere. You thought it'd be like some interesting deaths pertaining to them, like the one guy, you know, he wants to hook up with this one girl, and, you know, think, oh, maybe he's thinking with his dick, and they'd like do some kind of weird, you know, cut him in the dick or something, do something like that. No, you don't get that. And then just the characters just die off, just like, fuck you. Not that they're characters you care for, but, you know, there could have been some kind of more to their deaths instead of just getting your neck sliced and getting your heart ripped out. You know, and you don't even see the heart ripped out either in some cases. You see Halloween Jack pull in, and then, like, he pulls out, and then you just see, you know, the camera pan down to a heart, you know. And I don't think it had been that hard to pull out a heart. I mean, we saw it in last week with candy corn, you know, like, it was like sort of the after effect of pulling out a spine or the heart's there. But it wasn't, you know, this one, at least that one was sort of done better than this one. And, of course, Halloween Jack himself still looks shitty. I don't even remember if they had the glowing eyes from Legend of Halloween Jack. I can't remember that aspect. They could have, but I felt like they were like more dominant.
They did.
And it's just like, I don't know, he still looks shitty. He still looks like a bunch of like, get stuff off the farm, get a potato sack, put it over him, get a hat, all that stuff. And it still looks bad. we thought the dance scene was bad last year with Legend and how it was just like all over the place and campy. It's sort of tongue and, you know, just like cheesy. But then when he shows up at this fucking Halloween party and just stands there, you're just fucking dying laughing. Like, oh my God, it's so fucking bad. And it keeps going on from there. And this film, you know, the first one, it was kind of had that, you know, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow feel. It still kind of was slow and a little dull. This one is 100% slower and more dull towards the fucking end than I've ever fucking had to watch something. I mean, my God, this last half, and just in general, like the deaths were uneventful. The music that's supposed to make everything suspenseful and everything like that was just fucking like, what is this? You know, it's like, why is this music not matching the film? Like, they're like, Danielle meets up with Duke, who was part of the, you know, like the whole, he has a backstory with Jack Kane and everything about, you know, and he's like searching him, you know, like has all this stuff on him and knows about Danielle and her story. I don't want to get into that, because it's still relatively, you know, it's a newer movie. Not that people should really fucking care. It's whatever. But, it's just not good. And then that last half is just fucking boring as shit. And then like, okay, we need to do this. We need to prepare for this. Like, what do you need to prepare for? Like, he's right there. Just do it. And like, no, we need the fucking dagger to do this shit with. And like, I thought you already had the dagger. Like, no, we got to go back and get the dagger. And then they go there and they just talk. And then until he shows up, like, oh, now we can kill him or do something with it. It's just bad. It was just not good, and it was boring, and it was dull as shit, and it's just, like, so uneventful. And then it just, the look of Halloween Jack going through the house, and just, like, characters that just, deaths that, you know, aren't eventful either. And then just, like, it was not a good sequel. I mean, I'm not expecting much from The Legend of Halloween Jack and sequel wise, but I expected them to do something a little different. I mean, they did add a little bit with a thing, a reveal. But again, that's been done to death in other films, and it's been done better. And it's just, oh my God, man, it's just dull as shit. My God, this is like boring. That last half, like, okay, we need to prepare for this, and let's just sit around and lounge around and drink and talk and make sure you're fine. As you comfy on the couch there, you know, Ian, your thoughts?
One, I thought it was hilarious that, like, when the way he killed the mayor, I was like, what is it, like, really? I was like, you just picking up a frickin' hair dryer. And throwing it into it. It's like, it's like, why? Have, like,
fucking stupid.
A scythe. Yeah. I was like, okay. I was like, whatever. And then, like, when he actually was holding his scythe when he killed that one dude, he pulled out. There was no blood on the scythe. And then I was like, okay. And then when he ripped the heart out, there was no blood on his hands. I was like, what? I guess because you're magical. I'm just going to think because he's a magical being that he can't get blood on him. And that's how I'm going to, that's going to be my headcanon to get me through this movie of why there's no blood on him, even though there's blood everywhere else.
Didn't he get blood in him towards the end, though? Like, I swear there's, like, blood on his mask. At one point.
Maybe. I don't know. I was trying my hardest not to fall asleep. I was watching it right before. It was so boring. And I was like, I'm already tired. This movie's putting me to sleep. I was like, oh, good Lord. I set an alarm just in case, because I was like, oh my God, this movie. And, like, nothing really happened. I mean, a couple of people died, but it was mostly just angry talking. And that was it.
Yeah, a lot of angry talking. And then, of course, the whole gay guy and friend talking back and forth about how, like, oh, I'm not gay, but I might swing that way. You never know. I mean, you think I'm hot, you know, stuff like that. And just like a lot of trivial. Yeah, a lot of trivial just scenes that just is like sort of, you know, secondary, elementary school, you know, and not really elementary school, but like high school, middle school talk, you know, lingo. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go over here, I'm going to talk. Like, oh, I got a big penis. Like, but maybe it's not really that big. It's like, you know, it's small. You know, like, who the fuck? It's just the pickup lines and then the characters. Like, you know, it's just not. I mean, the gay guy was like the only character I kind of liked, you know, because he was like the most sane one in a sense. Like, I didn't care that much for Danielle.
And
Nancy, I don't even remember how the fuck she died. And then,
a phone got shoved in her mouth.
Oh, that's right. That's the fucking one that's. Then they're like, how do you fucking die from that? They're like, was it. Did you fucking dislocate her neck? Like, what the hell? Was it jammed in there too hard? That's the one that made me like, what? How are you dead? I mean, I've seen phones shoved in mouths before in horror movies, and it, like, went. Like, broke their jaw. I mean, even See No Evil, the one with Kane, it goes down their throat and chokes them to death. I mean, this one, it was just not even halfway in there. It's like if you had a bar of soap in your mouth. That's how she had the phone in there.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe
and
she
I'm not
just
even
passed
really
out.
Sure.
Maybe she's not dead.
I'm not even sure, like, the whole reason for Jack, you know, Halloween Jack going around killing people this time. I mean, what was the point? I mean, he got resurrected by the Lords of Sound, yeah, and why is he going after the mayor? You know, there's not really any reasoning for his murder spree this time around as he did in the original. And then you get the reveal, and it's still, like, apparently he knew. And, like, he hardly has any one-liners or quips. He talks once in the film, and he says trick-or-treat at the very beginning with the party scene. And, like, at the previous one last year, he was going around making quips all over the place, like a Freddy Krueger type character. And so apparently he became mute.
Like,
like they forgot their own continuity.
No, I didn't even know. Honestly, I was so bored that I didn't even notice. Honestly, that movie, I was forgetting it as I was watching it. And
this
I
is
literally
very
had
forgettable.
Like 20 minutes. I mean, obviously the first one was so forgettable that I don't even remember watching it. And
no, you had to watch the trailer. Yeah, you watched the trailer, and I had to go back and send you the review link of last year's show.
Yeah.
Like, here, refresh your memory.
Yeah, and oh my God. And that's weird for me because I hardly forget, like, I might forget details, but I don't forget, like, full on movies.
Yeah.
Especially if it's only been a year. But I don't know. Probably because it's been such a long year anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, at the party, they didn't even focus on the main character. Like, so she was like a background character. And she was supposed to be like a central piece. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
I mean,
you get more with the police chief and Duke than you do with Danielle. And then, like, the whole thing with Danielle, like, when she escapes the party because, you know, everyone's dead, big spoiler. But, like, again, we mentioned, like, her parents, you know, is the mayor and and they die, right? And then, like, we don't get no resolution, like, oh, your parents dead. Like, I don't even think she even got noticed, or not noticed, but informed that her parents are dead, because she's not sad at all. Like, oh, your parents are dead. She has no moment whatsoever of like, oh, your parents are dead. And then she gets the reveal, and then like, oh, okay, whatever. You know, like, whatever. You know, it's like there's nothing.
It was horrible acting. Like, even when she was like scared or sad, it just, I mean, I guess because she's like a sociopath, like her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's just like,
yeah, this, it wasn't,
no,
it, it
no
just was not,
no tears.
There's no, it's not a fun movie. That's the thing. I mean, if you watch the first one, it has that Dark Knight of the Scarecrow aspect to it, which kind of makes it passable because it follows the same path and it does a little Freddy Krueger sort of style with the, you know, sort of, you know, more or less. I mean, it has the Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, but then it has like Night of the Scarecrow with the talking aspect. And this, it's in those vibes, you know, Night of the Scarecrow, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. But then this one comes along and it tries to do this whole sort of Rawhead Rex thing, and it's just with the cult. Well, not really a cult did anything with Rawhead Rex, but just like coming out of a hole and going around murdering people. It's just in a country, you know, British countryside. It's just like, oh god, it's just so boring and dull, and things don't make hardly any sense. I mean, again, the characters aren't developed. You know, our central character doesn't get hardly anything because we're too busy worrying about the gay guy and his friend wanting to hook up with a chick and sex talk and dick talk and gay stuff. And not, you know, like, why is that a central part of this movie, and why not Danielle? Like, again, the whole party thing is just like, oh yeah,
like,
whatever.
I was like, this is just, there's nothing to it. Like, once the party got started, it was just, you saw the girls took a couple of selfies, and
mm-hmm.
then they were getting ready.
It's not like
then it just went straight to the guys. I was like, okay. I was like,
yeah.
I mean,
and it's not
I
like
kinda
the party scene. You know, the party scene in the first one where he was going around killing people for no reason. I mean, even this one with the Halloween party, he didn't even do shit. You see it, you're like, oh, he murdered everyone, but you saw it off camera, you know. He only murdered the two or three people that were her friends. You didn't see the whole rest of the party. It was just like, oh. Like some of the things you got right in the first one, was, even though it was not very good, I mean, you deviate away from that in the sequel and just make it a less than below average piece of shit.
I don't know.
Yeah.
At least the first two movies of our, you know, were better.
Well, it's the second one.
But, you know, I mean, you know, for our little, especially with our marathon,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, our marathon. Yeah,
hopefully
I mean, yeah, last week's, I mean, they weren't great or anything, but at least they tried. This one just was,
yeah,
bottom of the barrel.
I mean, especially comparison, those two were, like, much, much better films.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. I just hope that this is, you know, this is the low point and it's all uphill from there.
Yep. We got two more weeks technically left. So hopefully our next films will, like as you said, be a little better. Because, I mean, honestly, anything has to be better than this. I mean, we again, you know, we started out strong with two decent films. This one just, oh my God. So who knows what's in store for us for the remaining month of October. Looking forward to seeing that. Of course, who knows, we might get another rant. And then, of course, we'll have to do our review of The Lighthouse and Zombieland. So I don't know. That'll probably be the week off. So maybe next week will be our last film. Who knows? For the Halloween grab bag. If there's not really, because we got Zombieland and The Lighthouse. But anyway, Ian, we're going to get cut off here shortly. So I want to thank you again for coming on, talking. We had a fun time talking about all the films and everything else. So everyone, go check out Violence Gives Him Hope if you want to. on the page. Everything's listed. So thank everyone for listening, and we will see you next time.